Hello, this is Doug with Emotional Fair Journey, and I'd like to welcome my guest today, Tim Tedder. I've had the pleasure of speaking with Tim previously and am excited to do so once again. Tim is a licensed counselor and nationally certified counselor in the Orlando area and also is the creator of fairhealing.com. Welcome, Tim. How are you?
Hey, Doug. Doing good.
Good.
Thanks for having me on. I'm a subject I'm excited to talk about.
Well, good, good. I am too, because it is something that pops up in my daily life when talking with people who are, struggling with recovering from infidelity. So, and to let people know, the topic we're going to talk today, it's a very important one for fair recovery and healing, and it's about how the unfaithful person needs to understand why they had their affair. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, Tim, I can tell you that it comes up on virtually every conversation I have with both betrayed people and unfaithful or ex-unfaithful people. So I'm glad we're really delving into it a little bit here more today.
Yeah, me too. I think early in my counseling practice and my focus on affair recovery, this why question and trying to get at an answer to it, it kind of took a back seat to the questions about what actually happened. Tell me the truth about, how long did this go on? Who did you do it with? And all those kinds of details, the who's, what's, where's, when's, how's.
Right.
Of course, why tended to be one of the most important questions the betrayed partner was asking, and the one that had the infidelity had the hardest time giving a good response to. But I think, I tended to just kind of tack it on to the end of truth-telling stuff and over time realized how much more important it was. And so, we've put a lot more emphasis on it and eventually came to the place of, wanting to help others really get to a clearer understanding of why they had an affair or had infidelity in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a good segue to my first question that I had here then, Tim. But, I understand what you're saying. And most of the betrayed people that I talk to, it seems like, it's so vitally important for them to have that they know why their spouse had their affair or that they know that their spouse knew why they had their affair, if that makes sense. And I think it helps them to understand that, so that they can be aware that it's not going to happen again, potentially not happen again for one. And, it certainly incites some, it's a motivator for change and all kinds of self introspection and things like that too, which is very important.
Well, and I think too, for the betrayed partner, oftentimes there's an initial sense of inadequacy or what's wrong with me or what's wrong
with
our marriage and feeling like maybe the betrayer is putting blame on them, which sometimes that does happen. But it's not even just the one who had the infidelity. It's the person that's wounded that oftentimes feels that self-judgment, like there must be something wrong with me. And so they want to understand that. And that's not the case. It's not what's wrong with the marriage or what's wrong with the person. There may be things worth discussing and looking at there. But the cause has to do with what's off or wrong or broken in the person that had the infidelity, and for them to have a clear explanation of, hey, this is really what was going on with me when I made these choices. That's important. And like you said, not just to give an explanation of the past, but to be able to answer the question moving forward. So what's different now? I believed you. I trusted you before. Now you're telling me to trust you again. Why should I do that? And I think that question of what's different now or what's going to be different can only be answered when there's a clear understanding of why it happened in the first place.
Right. It's so vital and important. And what I also find is, and I would imagine you have see this as well, is that a lot of the, I'll use your terminology and call it involved partner. Why do you feel that it is so hard for them to do? And, that they, a lot of times I see that they don't even really know where to begin. And why do you think that is?
Well, I maybe a few reasons. One is that I think there's a pressure to come up with the one answer that explains everything. And I see people coming in all the time. They have all these theories. Either there's a mental disorder or there's some deep, dark secret from the past that caused them to do this, or all these things. But it's it's hardly ever one answer. It's like pieces in a puzzle,
right,
where they're trying to figure out how all those things fit into place. I think
mm-hmm.
another reason that the betrayers or the involved partners struggle with it is because they didn't typically start out with their choices deciding that, oh, I'm going to go this far in my infidelity, or I'm going to have an affair. I mean, it started out with a series of compromises and then justifications. And all that happened in a context. Nothing made them have an affair. You know, this isn't about finding excuses. But there tend to be different risks, vulnerabilities in their lives that contributed to them being in a particular place or a particular time where they started making compromises that maybe they wouldn't have made before. But that's all happening in the background. They're not focused on those things necessarily. And mm-hmm. the things that they may be focused on, maybe dissatisfaction in their marriage or things like that, maybe only part of the stuff going on in their life that really contributes to their vulnerability. So I just don't think we think about it that much. We're just very aware of the choices and the consequences of them without realizing, well, here's all the things that we're really putting some sort of pressure or energy behind the choices I've made. It starts to make sense once they really get into it, but usually mm-hmm. not at the beginning.
Right. And I think there's also a level of, okay, let's just move on, and I don't want to deal with this stuff, and it's a difficult process. You know, it's not an easy thing for a person to look within and discover, how they may not be a perfect person, and, they're flawed in many different ways, or, the things aren't what they expected.
And I agree.
So it's not something that's very much looked forward to.
No, but you've probably found, like I have, that those involved partners, those unfaithful spouses who are not only willing, but start to become motivated to have more insight and to understand why, so they know how to change moving forward, are much more likely to be contributing to not only a marriage that avoids divorce, but a marriage that experiences reconnection and, legitimate healing. So, yeah, the person that comes in and says, you know what, I don't want to do this. I won't do it again. I'm sorry. Let's just move forward. Really isn't spending the time to understand what needs to be understood, so not only they can trust themselves, but so their partner can trust them moving forward as well. But yeah, you're right. A lot of people just say, "Man, my bad, sorry. Can we just move on? I don't want to deal with this anymore.
Don't bring it up again."
Yeah.
Now, some of our listeners may not realize that you at one point were unfaithful and mm-hmm. in your marriage, and I was wondering if you maybe could share just briefly a little bit about your own process and experiences of understanding the whys of your affair.
Yeah, and by the way, that's one of the main reasons I eventually became a counselor, because it took me too long to get to this process. And in the meantime, a lot of destruction happened, including divorce from my spouse, which right. she was right to do. I did not get to a healthy place. It took me years between the discovery of my affair and the affair ending for me to get to the place where I really began to take an honest perspective of what I'd done and why I'd done it. And so, it wasn't until that point when I began to realize, oh, wait, maybe I had a lot more to do with what went on. I mean, I always took responsibility. Yeah, my bad. I have an affair. I know that was wrong. That's fully, my fault. But even in my own mind, the reasons I would give to why I did that was, well, I was in a marriage that wasn't satisfying. We hadn't been connected for a long time. I was facing a lot of pressure in my jobs. And both of those things were legitimate. Both of those things were a context in which my choice was made. But it wasn't really a full understanding. And it didn't even get to the most important part of me that I needed to understand that made me vulnerable to my infidelity. And it wasn't until I came to the place of going, after my affair ended, after my marriage ended, and I was just kind of floundering any relationship I pursued, I was tending to do the same things and eventually became curious as to why are things always going this predictable way, and I began to realize, I might have a lot more to do with this than I realized. And, going to counseling myself, began to explore this and realizing, oh, I think man, this had a lot more to do with me. Not just the affair, but even the disconnection in my marriage. You know, that's stuff I had to take responsibility for. I wish I'd come to that clarity much sooner. I believe if I had, my marriage would not only survive, but it would have changed in significant ways that would have been satisfying to us both. So I do this work now to try to get people to see this sooner, help them come to these realizations quicker than I did, and maybe minimize some of the regrets that I have to continue to carry with me in my life.
Gotcha. So what would you think then, you know, as a result of your this work that you did, what kind of positive things did you see come out of it as far as in your life and in your subsequent relationships?
Well, one was that I accepted a greater responsibility for what had happened. Even though I had apologized to my wife, and sincerely so, I never went into my affair intending to hurt anybody or even in my marriage. That ended up being the consequence, but that was not my intention. So when I said to my, you know, ex-wife, I'm sorry for that, that was genuine. But when I had a fuller understanding of what had gone on, that became much deeper in me, that sense of remorse, that sense of sorrow, because I understood my part in it. I understood all the things that had influenced me that I could accept responsibility for. And so I was able to go back to her and express in a much deeper way and more sincere way how sorry I was for that. And I think that was healing for her. It allowed me to take, you know, if I had stayed with my previous perspective, then the solution for avoiding future infidelities would be, hey, I need to really make sure I find a better partner, someone that I'm more connected with, make sure it's a healthier marriage, and, you know, manage my work schedule a little bit better. But what I realized I needed to do is really go to work with me. I needed to go to battle with some of that stuff in me that I'd never given attention to. And so now, I mean, 15 plus years after starting that work, I can say that my trust in myself, my assuredness that I'm not going to have another affair, isn't just about, you know, because I made a promise, because I'd made promises before. It's about being able to look at this pattern of change in my life and knowing that I have a clear perspective of how I want to love and how I want to be engaged in my relationship and my marriage now. And that is something very different than it was before. It's not a guarantee that I could never have an affair again. I'm capable of doing that. But it is an assurance to me and to my spouse and to anybody I'm in a close relationship with that they can trust me because of the way I'm engaged in relationships now. And that came out of the why work.
All right. Great. I often find that, and I say this quite often too, is that, you know, awareness is probably more than half the battle when it comes to this sort of thing. Would you kind of find that to be the case as well, if you're aware
I do.
Of the why?
Having that insight is really important. However, when you say it's half the battle, if you stop at halfway, you're not going to win the battle.
Right.
You know, people can have all the insight in the world. If you don't move from that insight to how does that make a difference in my life now? What does change look like? That's really where the power of the insight. But, yeah, it starts with a clarity and awareness and understanding of what all this really means.
Sure. I kind of equate this whole process when I talk to people as, you know, peeling away the layers of an onion. And just as far as going deeper than the surface. And I find that when I talk to people that a lot of their reasons that they've come up with tend to be a little bit more on the surface and they don't quite go deep enough. So I think that, you know, that's an issue. But secondly, I also think that a lot of times what they come up with are really more excuses than true explanations and whys. And I wonder if you can maybe just give us what you feel is your description or differentiation between explanation and excuses.
Well, an excuse looks for that outward reason that caused a choice or a behavior. In other words, because of these things, I chose this. And so the weight of responsibility move to those outward causes, and the solution moving forward is to just change those outward things. If it was just the outward cause, there's really no need for forgiveness. You just need to fix that outside thing because the person themselves isn't that culpable. They were just a victim of whatever those causes were. But it doesn't mean those things aren't important. But they move from being excuses to just being, you know, more contributors to the choice when a person says, no, I still had a choice in this. Even when I look at all these influences in my life, I did not have to choose infidelity. I did not have to have an affair. I did that because it was in my best interest, because I acted selfishly, because I decided I wanted to do that. I could have made other choices. But the reason I made that, I made that choice, and I'm not a bad person. You know, oftentimes, most of the time, I'm dealing with clients who don't necessarily have a pattern of infidelity. And many of them, probably most of them, are surprised themselves that they ever did that. They say, I never thought I'd be that guy or be that woman that made that choice. But, you know, understanding, how did I get to this place? Why do they do it at this specific time, even though previously I had opportunities to have an affair and always moved out of them, didn't make that choice? Why did I make the choice at this moment in my life? Or why did I make it in this circumstance when someone else would not have made it? That's when you start looking at the influences in a person's life that make them more vulnerable to it. Again, they're not, doesn't take away the responsibility for the choice they made. They're still fully responsible for it. But there is increased vulnerability and risk in some people's lives and in some particular times and circumstances than in other people or in other times and circumstances. So it's important to see all of that. And I'd say, too, for the betrayed partner, if there's any willingness to begin to understand this, too, and have some empathy, not excuses. Again, their partner's 100% responsibility. They're going to have to forgive them or not for the choice they made. But to have some clarity and understanding to all the things, you know, in them, and maybe even including some of the things in the marriage, so that they know, oh, here are the things that, you know, are we're going to give attention to moving forward, or that my partner is going to give attention to moving forward. And, you know, it allows them to step into that arena with some sort of empathy to understand the context and understand what changes will look like.
Great. Do you feel that this process has a tendency to increase the level of guilt and shame that some of these people feel? Do you see that in your practice?
Well, it can. I mean, that's the fear, I think. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, the person that says, I just want to move on. Sometimes that's a reflection of really no desire to change. You know, I just want life to be normal. Don't expect anything from me. But I think for a lot of people, too, it's like, I don't want to look at my failures. I feel a lot of shame that gets heaped on to this. And I get it. I had to do battle with that too. But there's a difference between looking at all these things and then just condemning yourself and saying, you know, what a terrible, rotten person I am. I deserve every bad thing that's ever happening in my life. And instead of avoiding that, looking at them honestly and saying, listen, I see all the things that have contributed to patterns in my life and maybe this particular choice, but I have a vision for something different. I don't want to tell this story again. And the way I want to love is different than the way I wanted to love before. I mean, that's the contradiction to shame. That is the hope. That's grace coming into our life and saying, you know, the things that got in your way before, you can move in a way that's loving differently, that is a different perception by those who are involved in intimate areas of your life. And that brings, you know, a lot of hope. And so I think that's what I say to people. You know, they're really afraid to step into that area and are going to be looking at the things that feel shameful. I said, listen, this is not intended to be that thing. You're going to bring out all this junk and blame all of that, and now you just got to sit in this goop for the rest of your life. It's to examine it so that you can move forward with shifts and changes and with hope, because things can be different.
Right. Well, I guess from a slightly different motivational aspect, too, is that, you know, if you don't want this to define who you are, you need to go through this process. And we all make mistakes. We all make poor choices. And, you know, it's kind of up to you to not be defined by those choices.
Right.
So, well, one of the reasons that you and I are even talking today is that you've just recently developed a course called Understanding Why, a 10-step course for unfaithful partners. Can you just give me a brief summary of the course and how it's set up and that sort of thing? And maybe just, you don't need to get into them real deeply, but just maybe a list out the 10 different steps for us
Let me give just kind of a general overview of what the 10 steps do and what they try to accomplish. And it is, it's
awesome.
10 steps and they are, each step is a combination of a short audio lesson from me that also includes comments from other people who have gone through this process themselves. So participants in the course get to hear how other people have worked through their questions, which I think can be very helpful. But each audio segment is about 10 minutes long. Then there's a worksheet that, depending on a person's particular story and experience, sometimes that worksheet process can be accomplished in 10, 15 minutes. For some, they're going to spend an hour or two on them. So it just depends on what their particular story and need is.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there are many of the steps also include extra resources that are supplements that people can download or go to if they want to do that as well. A short quiz that just asks general questions about, you know, what did you learn from this? And then it moves on to the next step. And the purpose of the 10 steps is to really help each person understand, first of all, why the process is important, help lead them to a specific understanding of all the different vulnerabilities in their life, what is the primary motivation behind the choices they made, what were the steps of changes, compromises, and justifications that they made that led to the ultimate betrayals, you know, how far it went in their experience. There are four different steps that look at areas of historical risk in their life, personal risk in their life, the marital risks or relationship risks in their life, and circumstantial risks. And it steps through what you need to look at, questions to ask, to look at what were all the vulnerabilities in those four areas that contributed to the risk in you. But once you've done all that, and that's previously what you asked about, Doug, that's the awareness, that's the insight. That is a significant part of this. But then the last steps of the course encourage the person to take all that, say, so what difference does it make now? What do you do now with all of this? This gets to answering the question, so, you know, why should I trust you moving forward, the partner might ask. So you take all those insights, the things you learn, and say, how do I address each of those in a way that either there's going to be change or I establish boundaries? And by the end of the process, the person has a very clear, you know, list of what those things are, and the encouragement is to go back to their partner and discuss those things so that they see the plan moving forward. And by the way, I even encourage, even if a marriage or relationship has ended, it can be healing for both, for the conversation to go back and say, listen, you know, I want to say more about that thing that I did and the way that I hurt you, because I've gained more insight and I just want you to understand, I don't hold you responsible. These are the things I'm responsible for. These are things in my life that I've gained insight, and this is how it's going to change me moving forward. So I'm sorry I didn't learn this stuff before. Sorry I didn't bring this into our relationship, but I, you know, I'm committed to moving forward. I think that can be really healing.
I was just going to say it could be really healing, and that's what happened in your own situation as well. So
yes,
you can attest to that, I'm sure. Now, I don't know if it's true in your case, but we deal with a lot, or I should say our audience is a lot of the hurt partner. And so, you know, one of the stumbling blocks for many of the unfaithful partners is the reluctance to really kind of take the initiative in the whole recovery process, and certainly understanding why is part of that. So along with that, I know that you know, many of the hurt partners are the ones who are probably listening to this audio right now. So with that said, is this program something that you'd recommend a hurt partner give, present, require through the partner to ask them to complete? Or, and if so, I guess, how would you suggest they go about it? And, you know, just kind of maybe get into that a little bit, because I know that's kind of a tricky tight wire at times.
Yeah, and I appreciate the way you asked the question, because I certainly would not suggest that a betrayed partner go through this course themselves to try to figure things out. This is not a course for the betrayed partner. It is for the unfaithful one, for the involved partner or spouse. But yes, if you're listening to this and you don't have clarity in regards to the why of your partner's infidelity or affair, I would certainly encourage them to go through this. Now, I think it's best when a person is self-motivated to think, Wow, I want to figure this out. That's great. But I do address those people that have begun the course and are listening to it because they have a spouse that's encouraging. I'll put the word encouraging in quotes, encouraging them to do
Okay.
that. And I challenge them. I said, listen, you may not be excited about this, may not be the thing you would choose to do, but my encouragement is, you know, for the sake of your spouse, do it anyway. See where this leads you. See where it takes you. And it will take them through a process. It takes them through a process that I spend, you know, three or more sessions with my clients on while they're doing outside work. But right now I'm taking my clients and saying, listen, do this online work. It's a lot cheaper and it's going to take you into depth, you know, and all these things in very specific ways. And then we can talk about it afterwards. So yes, I would encourage them, tell them, hey, go to this. There are a few parts at the very beginning that you don't, person go for free and listen to them. They can see what the course is about. They can listen to the first introductory audio segment. So people have a pretty clear perspective of what they're getting. And mm-hmm. I do think it could be something helpful for them to encourage yeah. their spouses to go through.
Great. Well, one of the things I liked about the course when I went through it was that you had I'll call it a supplemental guide for the mm-hmm. Hurt Partner.
Yes.
I believe it was in the first module. And,
yep.
you know, to
yep.
kind of give them a little bit of a, you know, heads up of what's going on and what the process is and all that sort of thing. But,
right.
but I mean, is this something that you would recommend that they go through together? Or you think maybe they should just say, all right, Mr. or Mrs.
Yes.
Involved partner, go off in your cave and work on this. And then when you're done,
no,
we'll talk
I would,
about it.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I would encourage. I would not encourage them to do it together. And the reason for that is if a person is moving through, you know, the first, I'd say, 6-7 steps,
mm-hmm.
if the couple's trying to talk about it at that point, before the person gets to, so what does this mean in regards to change in my life? It's very likely that the betrayed partner will feel like, oh, you're just giving me excuses. You're just giving me things that take responsibility, even though I'm very clear, probably almost at every step, this is not about excuses. This is not about you
right,
know, getting
right.
getting off the hook. But I still
Important.
Think at that point in the discussions, it's hard for the feeling not to be there, that you're just coming up with, you know, these reasons why you did what you did. So I think if they do the work first and then get to those last steps where they're applying it to what the future is going to look like, and then at the end, and it encourages them how to have the conversation, what the conversation should look like, then talk about it together, I think it makes much more sense and creates a sense of hope for change in the future.
Yeah. Well, I think that talking is just key. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's tough for most unfaithful people that I talk to take the initiative and be proactive and talk to their spouse about things that they've discovered about themselves. And it's just almost counterintuitive to a lot of them to do that. But I can tell you that it is, you know, most hurt spouses will do backflips if they came and if you know, their spouse came to them and talked about what they learned about something they about themselves, you know. So it's very important, and I certainly encourage people to do that. So that's a wonderful aspect. Now, as I mentioned, I did go through all the 10 modules yesterday actually, and listened to everything, and it's really good stuff. And I did come up with questions for probably each module, but if we did that, we'd be here all day. So I know you're a busy man, but so just to kind of maybe wrap things up, can you maybe give us one nugget or pearl that you, one can expect to get out of this course, and maybe or any tips or how to get the most out of it?
Well, that's a good question. I think of a lot of things, and each one has
sure.
kind of their different point and so forth. If I had the elevator talk with somebody, and I got in an
there
elevator and someone said, hey, what do you do? I said, I'm a counselor. I deal with affairs. And they looked at me and said, oh, I had an affair. What can you tell me about understanding why? That's
yeah.
probably never going to happen. But if it did happen, you know, and I just mentioned this course, I would say that probably at the other end of it, now, this may not be true for 100% of the people, but I think for the huge majority of them, they're going to be confronted with the need to become more vulnerable themselves. I just see this across
right.
the board. I mean, especially
yes.
with men who have been betrayers, that as they gain insight into this stuff, they're going to have more clarity into why it's been so difficult for them to be open about certain things, to be engaged with their partners in certain ways. And so instead of just coming up with the excuse, well, that's just the way I am, they're going to be able to start seeing, oh, that's why I am the way I am. I see that's gotten in my way. In fact, that very thing probably made me more vulnerable. I just see that so consistently. That's expectation most of the time. Someone's going to face that. And that can be difficult for people like me, and that certainly was part of my story. That tended to just be right. very closed, hold things tight, you know, close to my heart. Not, right. I'm not going to be emotionally available or vulnerable to you, to realize, oh, I struggle with that. But it starts yeah. with admitting it. It won't change it magically because you go through this course, but start by acknowledging and saying, that's something I want to work on. That is not only a huge encouragement to a partner that longs to be connected to you, but I can also tell you that as you address that, as you make your plan for change, it's hard, it's difficult, but it's satisfying as you realize I'm doing things differently now. And you know, it's that's where real change begins to happen. So there's a right. lot in the course that addresses that. You know, take a look at that. How has that set you up for, you know, being a little bit more self-protective and not being connected mm-hmm. and open and vulnerable in relationships. Right. So that's probably one thing a lot of people will find themselves.
Well, that's great because that is, you know, that it's a difficult thing for a lot of people. And like you said, it tends to be typically the male, you know, especially people, you know, I'm 57. So people my age definitely have a hard time with that, it seems. Mm-hmm. And but you know, the awareness again and the motivation and going through the process can be, you know, wonderful as far as the recovery goes. So, great stuff. Sorry to put you on the spot like that.
No, that's okay.
But that was,
I didn't have an answer. I was just looking at my imaginary list above my head going, well, which one do I go to right now?
Yeah. Well, I like how you put it, how it's a, you know, it's a, what is it? When you're in business, you need to have a 7-second elevator comeback for when people ask you what you do. So that's good. So
most of the time when I tell people what I do, they just kind of look at me with blank stares. Why would you do that?
Well, it's tough dealing with that every day, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I'll provide a link to the course and everything on our site. And but otherwise, if you could just let our listeners know how they can get a hold of you and your site address and all that kind of stuff, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, if they can get a hold of me by going to affairhealing.com, I think every link necessary for contact or even the courses that we offer, a podcast that we offer, all our resources are available there online, and that's the easiest way, affairhealing.com.
Fantastic. Tim, appreciate it very much, your time and all your valuable information.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, sir. Take care, Tim.
Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.